There is no need for you to speak unless I ask you a question.
FM Talk Radio 99.1 KKFT. For Smith and Mason Valley, 92.3 FM Talk.
I think this is very timely because, you know, I want to divide. You're going to be on for two segments here. This is Ken and Dave. They are with the Northern Nevada Preppers Group. And we have two segments on this. The first segment, we're going to talk about this amazing this event you have coming up. It's kind of like a Woodstock for preppers.
Absolutely.
And the second segment, I want to talk about, you know, where are we now on the end of the world scale right now? How much time do we have left? And I think we're getting closer. Look at all these people buying the gold and the silver and everything. And I've never seen the world so unstable. And so I had to have you on. This is the Northern Nevada Preppers Group. It's a group that promotes a self-reliant lifestyle and being prepared for natural or man-made disasters. January 23rd to the 25th, 2 weeks from now, it's Frozen Prepper Days. It's the it's up in north in Palomino Valley, off Pyramid Highway, up past Spanish Springs. That is gorgeous land up there.
It sure is.
And everybody is welcome. It's all free. Campers are invited. It's part of your cold weather training. You're asking folks to test their winter camping skills. You're doing test trials of outside January camping, even if it's like 17 degrees out there, like we had the night before last?
Absolutely.
see.
John, it in an emergency situation, and when you think of emergencies, we're talking about man-made disaster or natural disasters, as you mentioned, but Northern Nevada is incredibly likely to get a major earthquake. So there's a lot of things that could happen very easily, but in an emergency situation, there's three things that are going to be needed. You're going to need supplies, you're going to need gear, and you're going to need skills. Think about this, though. If you have a generator, for example, you bought,
yeah,
and you didn't know that it needed a special kind of fuel, what are you going to do in an emergency?
I don't know where to start.
So what you need to do is get knowledge and be familiar with your gear and your supplies and your skills. That's what we do as Northern Nevada Preppers Group. We twice a year do a major event. We call them field days. And you can come out and camp with us for the entire event, or you can come out for the day. And we love kids. Northern Nevada Preppers Group is not a militia. It's a family-oriented organization that is trying to get people to become capable of dealing. We don't want them to survive an emergency. We want them to thrive.
I'm glad you said that, Dave, because why do people think preppers are like militia, like we're, you know?
There's two reasons for that. And again, as entertaining as it was, and I really enjoyed it, the
TV show?
Yeah, Doomsday's Preppers gave preppers a bad name. Prepping has gone mainstream, John. In, 2019, the Homeland Security identified 19 million people that they called preppers.
Yeah.
In 2023, late 23, that number jumped to 25 million. It is growing exponentially. And there's a lot of reasons for it. There's a lot of people that are very uncomfortable.
Look at the news. I know. Let's get Ken Jakey here talking. Ken, okay, so the group is all about education and training. And it's a great group to join if you folks want to get skilled in emergency and disaster preparedness and survival training. Tell me about the events, Ken, on the 23rd through the 25th. What's the event schedule?
Well, first, John, thank you for having us again. We really enjoy being here with you and your listeners. This month's event is going to be at my home on my property. I have 40 acres in Palomino Valley, and we really want you and your listeners to drop by. Mm-hmm. First and foremost is on our website at nnpg.net.
nnpg.net.
Yes, at the top of every page is a button you can click on for information of this event. Very important on the bottom of that information page is an RSVP form that you need to fill out. And the reason is because I don't want to give my personal address out on the air. If you RSVP, leave your contact info, then I can contact you and tell you give you the address. And it's very important to know that we don't collect phone numbers or email addresses and send them out. We're very private. We don't do any marketing such as that.
So the event is free.
Absolutely, no charge.
I'm looking at the schedule. You have off-grid solar and wind power. You're going to go over water and food and emergencies, emergency medical training from a former fire chief.
Yes.
Using drones in emergencies. You're going to have a little seminar on gear, prepping gear, which all folks should have just in case. You're going to host a barter and swap meet there. This is all besides sleeping in the cold to train you for cold water weather camping overnight in this weather.
Well, you don't sleep in the cold. You have your personal heater with you, and
What kind of heater is it?
You might think of a buddy heater. It runs on propane.
Those things. Okay.
Those are very safe to have in your tent.
Okay.
So it helps you test your survival. What happens if you're thrust out into the outdoors in the wintertime?
Yeah. What happens if you're
ready
in your house and the power's gone?
Power goes off, yeah. That's part of the doomsday scenario, that we lose the electricity. So people come and bring their tents then, if they want to be a part of that.
If they want to test their tent, absolutely. Okay. We can help you set it up, figure out how it works.
Making a survival fire pit, you're going to be doing that. And how to use amateur radio. Folks, when we say amateur radio, that's not John Potter trying to be a radio talk show host. No, we're talking ham radio. Many ham radios are going to be in use at your frozen prepper days. Why are they a part of prepping for a catastrophe in the future?
Well, in a catastrophe, the infrastructure is lost. You won't have any cell phones. No landlines. They're going away anyway. How do you get in touch with your family and, say, your friends that you might have in a different city?
So that's the only way.
When everything else fails, ham radio always works.
And ham radio has been helping out in an emergency for decades. It goes way back. Ham radio has created a network to support fire, hospitals, police in an emergency when communication is so critical and yet so difficult to come by.
I always wonder what people say on those things. Like right now, we're not in a disaster scenario, but it says here on your website, you use the radios to make contacts. Your website says, quote, it's loads of fun. What is the fun part of amateur ham radio?
We, at each of our field events, we set up the HF radio. You need a license to use a ham radio unless, as we do, we have people with licenses there, then anybody can use the radio. And we've had people come to our events and make contacts and talk to people in New Zealand, in Czechoslovakia, Italy. They find it very fascinating that all of a sudden they're talking to somebody in a completely different part of the world.
Using a cell phone.
What do you say to them? I don't get it.
It's just a social thing. It's just you're meeting somebody new. You're just talking to somebody that's there. How's it going? Everything's wonderful. How are things there? What's the weather? What are you doing? It's just like talking to somebody new that you just met.
How long do these conversations go typically?
They can go generally for what we're talking about, it's 5 to 15 minutes.
That is really interesting. So that does sound like, so what you folks do is interesting. It's fascinating. And there's good fellowship among all of you. How many members do you have in the group?
roughly 20. We're really pushing for some youngsters to come in, mm-hmm. take over the management of the group,
yeah.
and carry it on.
What are the qualifications to join?
A desire to learn how to be prepared for an emergency.
This stuff is gold for prepping. I mean, this free event and free education and on hands training. It looks like you got a list there, Ken. What else did you want to bring up?
Well, on our website, if you go to nnpg.net and click that button at the top of every page for information, you can read about the schedule of events, but don't get lost up in the schedule, because if you can't make it at a certain time, you show up, you say, hey, I really want to learn about whatever.
Yeah.
We have experts there to talk to you about it. You don't have to be there at the time that it's scheduled.
And it doesn't have to be limited to the topics that we have scheduled for this particular
event. Absolutely. One of the things that's not on the schedule is blade sharpening. I'm going to be demonstrating a new blade sharpening technique.
That's important. Yeah.
And
the power tools aren't going to work.
No. Well, yeah. If you have a battery operated power tool, that's a little better, but you better be ready to charge it.
I know.
and we'll show you how to do that.
And Dave's got a list too. You could do the whole show. Okay, we're going to take a break here. I want to come back. There is word that we're in the age of collapse. I want to bring up some view, because I'm sure that's a big reason why you guys are preppers, is because you foresee some trouble ahead from so many different things. You brought up earthquakes. I didn't even think of that. But we're going to talk about that and what the threat is in our future, which makes it so important to look into this group, or at least go to this big event. Let me repeat when it is, and it's the 23rd through the 25th. It's like 2 weeks away here, folks, and it's going to be in Palomino Valley, and it's free. And go to the website, which is nnpg.net. All right, be back very shortly. I'm John Potter, live and local, 99.1, 92.3 FM Talk, FM News Talk, time 10:18.
Proud to have switched from liberal to conservative over the years.
The Talk of Northern Nevada. Speak out, 884-9910, FM News Talk.
99.1 and 92.3.
John Potter, live and local, one more segment with Ken and Dave of the Northern Nevada Preppers Group, changing the image of preppers. They're not militia. They're not hoarders, like TV shows make you believe. You're right, guys. I remember that prepper show, and the preppers there had like arsenals of guns and things like that. That's not what you're about. It's about survival training, and we'll touch on this event you have coming up. Have you guys heard of the Fortitude Ranch?
Yes.
What's your opinion of? Oh, let me tell folks what it is. It's imagine you folks have heard about these people who take things like missile silos in Kansas, and they will convert that into like a multi-level living quarters in case there's a nuclear war or something terrible. We lose power all over the country, and millionaires, because they're very expensive, they sell these living units deep underground. Now, the Fortitude Ranch in Nevada is pretty much a compound. I think it's mainly above ground, but they are total preppers. And you, I guess, buy like a condo there or a cabin at this Fortitude Ranch. And this is in Nevada. It's, I think, somewhere in central Nevada. What's your opinion of it?
My opinion of all of those is that prepping is personal.
Okay.
What's good for me may not be good for you, because you're married, I'm not, kids, priorities, what have you. So, but for the, there's place, you mentioned this one, there's one in Europe that it's $18 million to become a member, and it's sold out.
I know.
All these groups are, there's a lot of rich people that have places that they can run to if there's an emergency. And the likelihood of an emergency is 100%. It's a matter of timing.
I don't think this Fortitude Ranch is for the rich. They stockpile stuff. They have like a huge stockpile of food and energy needs and things like it. But it's a ranch. And anyway, they've come out with a pamphlet. I'm on their mailing list. The Age of Collapse, they say we're up to a 57% yearly chance that we're going to collapse here. New technologies like bioengineering enable a small terrorist group of even one individual to modify and release a new virus perfected by AI that could cause a pandemic. The experts say that's inevitable. The divided United States is already in early stage of civil war. Most counties defy state gun control laws, and the nation's sharply divided into increasingly hostile political sides. Millions of gang members and other criminals will take advantage of any situation that overwhelms police to loot and murder. This is just from the power going out, you know. A growing number of Americans are preparing for collapse survival, especially the rich, as just mentioned. And the government knows and is doing nothing to warn or prepare citizens for the coming collapse. Top government officials will survive the collapse at Mount Weather. I don't know where any of these places are, Raven Rock and other survival facilities. Worse, executive orders authorize agencies to steal food and resources from citizens when necessary. The priority is the continuation, continuity of government, not protecting citizens. And so we need to ban the legislators from government seizures of private property in a collapse. And finally, it's all about prevention, preemption, and preparedness. P3. The key to survival in the age of collapse. In your mind, is this exaggerated?
No.
And what do you think the main threat to our nation is right now? You mentioned earthquakes already.
Well,
there's also rangeland fires in our area that you need to prepare for.
Everybody needs, as I said, everything's personal. In our area, the number one thing, in my opinion only, is earthquake. Nevada's the fourth most frequently hit state in terms of numbers of earthquake, and Northern Nevada in particular has a history of a 6.8 to a 7.2 earthquake every 35 years, regular as clockwork. However, we're 100 years past due.
Well, Dave, say we get a severe earthquake. That's going to probably break down civilization for, what,
yes,
a couple of weeks?
The
things I mentioned are like much longer term.
Yes, they are. But an 8.0 earthquake, which I believe is possible,
uh-huh,
would shut things down for the better part of a month. Think about it. Trains aren't going to be.
But you don't think these other things here are a much bigger danger?
Oh, yes. And I think they're very
what's
possible.
The probability then of bioengineering a weapon and an attack that cuts that destroys our electrical grid?
People believe that there's a lot of people believe that COVID was just that it escaped from China, mm-hmm, accidentally, but that it was a manufactured virus. Pandemic, all of those things you mentioned are absolutely possible. My point, and as preppers, we believe that we can't predict exactly when or like there's a document that has 235 things that could be an emergency situation, from loss of job up to the end of the world kind of a thing. So we just want to be prepared. Again, we don't want to survive. We want to thrive. I don't want to ever go to my grandson and say, you're family or you are going to suffer, be hurt, or even killed because I didn't go and take my responsibility as the head of the family to be knowledgeable about how to live through an emergency.
Ken, what do you want to add to that?
First and foremost, I want all your listeners to know we are apolitical. We're very proud of the fact that politics don't come into play with our group. So if you're out there listening and you think, hey, I might want to come out and see what's going on at the end of this month at your event, no matter what political affiliation you are or what your views are, we don't talk about politics, so come on out and have a good time.
I love that. That's a great thing to stick to.
Yes.
Politics turns people off. I mean, and plus, you're never going to change their minds, you know? I wish families would take that rule.
Yes. Wouldn't that be great?
Oh, wouldn't it? Okay, folks, we're out of time. Go to their website. The Northern Nevada Preppers Group is nnpg.net. And go to this free event, this Preppers Woodstock. The Frozen Preppers Weekend is the 23rd through the 25th at Palomino Valley.
And we love kids, so bring
them. That's where we differ. But it was great having you.
Thank you so much, John.
This is important stuff that I think people need to know and prepare for. I'm John Potter, live and local. We're going to take a break for news and local news, too, with Greg Neff, Fox News next, 99.1, 92.3 FM Talk, FM News Talk, time 10:30.
FM Talk on 92.3 FM in Smith and Mason Valley, 99.1 FM Talk for Reno, Tahoe, and all of Northern Nevada.
Good morning, Brenda. How are you?
Hey, John. How's it going?
All right.
Good to be back.
Brenda Hannon from Hannon's Estate Services, Diggins, and Treasures. Yeah, it's good to have you back. Let me just start out by giving folks the good news that KKFT listeners and 92.3 listeners, you get a 25% discount. The reason you're here is because you have very big news. We have a new warehouse full of, let me just say, I think personally, because I went to your older one, it's all collectibles.
It came,
I don't know how this all began. I know you host estate sales for families who desperately need somebody to sell all this stuff if somebody passes on and everything like that. And you ended up with a warehouse of goodies. Did you shop at your own estate sales?
No, I try not to.
And pick out stuff. How did you get all this stuff?
We had clients and realtors who didn't want to wait for an on-site sale, because sometimes you have to wait a couple of months to get in for one of those.
Yeah.
So they said, well, just buy it all. So we started doing estate buyouts. And that's mainly what we specialize in now.
Well, your estate sales, you do a lot of them, and it's a great service. I know you're an honest estate sale service. That is so important, because when somebody passes on, they don't exactly know what that person had and what is in the house. And you have a great reputation. We've heard stories of you returning found money and such like that. But I'm always interested in the interesting finds that you uncover to have the owner keep or sell. My own curiosity here. Tell us, the odd and cool things that you've sold at your estate sales and the odd and cool things that you have for sale in your warehouse.
We have all kinds of crazy stuff. For instance, we just found two Oriental bronze statues that I can't find a maker's mark on. We can't find any history on them, so we had to send photos to Sotheby's auction. So they're researching them for us. This is like a college education that we go through.
What are the statues depicting?
They don't particularly seem to be religious statues.
The owners couldn't tell you
much
about
them? No, we found them in a basement in a house, and they didn't know anything about them.
Oh, my gosh, that fascinates me.
So we're going to hold them on consignment for the family once we figure out what they're worth.
And if they don't show up on Google, they might be one of a kind.
Exactly. And Sotheby's has had the photos for almost 3 months now.
And they're looking.
They're looking. That's the kind of fun stuff we come across.
Well, how do you know how to price things like that?
Well, everyday stuff we know how to price all day long. But those kind of items, we have to research them. I mean, they could be worth $50,000 and we're not going to let them go for $500.
And the items that don't sell at your estate sales, now what happens to them? Do those end up in your warehouse?
No. our warehouses are only items that we buy out. So we don't do, like, quote, yard sale leftovers. So we only keep the cool stuff.
And sometimes you just outright buy the entire estate.
We do.
Yourself.
That's what's called the buyouts. So if we agree to buy out your family's estate, we will also clean it out as a separate service. But if you've already done your yard sales and all that, we won't go in and finish it up for you. But we will go in and do the clear outs.
Oh, come to my house. My garage is
right.
Brenda, my garage is packed and it's probably worth $100.
You'd be surprised.
No, I'm pretty sure it's $100.
Yeah.
For people going to your estate sales that you hold, what are the best things to look for and buy? What do the savvy people search for?
Well, we have vendors that come to our sales that go out and do reselling. So some of them will show up at 5:30 in the morning if they see a collection, say, of miniature perfume bottles. They'll be there in line, very first thing, and they're whispering in my ear, where are they in the house? Where am I going to find these things?
So if you go to Brenda's estate sales, you eliminate the middleman. You're getting it before the wise guys come by, the collectors, the true collectors grab it, right? Okay, I did a little research, MarthaStewart.com. And you guys out there, don't be laughing. John Potter finds many useful things there, and I'm trying to show some class. So MarthaStewart.com has this article, 12 things you should never buy or sell at an estate sale, according to experts. And it says, very brief here, it says, not every deal at an estate sale is worth buying. Here's what you should avoid. Number one, puzzles, Brenda.
Oh, right.
Can you guess why?
Pieces.
Yeah, there's always the one piece missing.
They are very hard to sell.
After somebody spends all that time.
You're right.
Items you haven't measured. Many people have bought things that were too wide and didn't even go through their front door.
Take a tape measure with you.
Yes, bring your measuring tape to Hannon's estate sale. By the way, do you advertise your sales? Where?
We do. We do Facebook, Craigslist. We have almost like 1,000, 1,500 people on our email list that we send
out
emails.
You have a list?
We do.
So you send a newsletter with a list?
People sign up to be on our email, which, by the way, we need to talk about, because for our big announcement today, they need to get on our email list.
We're going to hold off the big announcement here for the second segment. Okay, so how do people sign up for the newsletter?
Go on HannonsEstateService.com. There's no S on the end of service. Okay. And in there, there's a link to go in and sign up to receive emails. And then that way you'll know when we're having a sale, what we're doing at our warehouses.
Okay.
You know, so it's always good news.
Now you tell me.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that. Okay. More things you should never buy or sell at an estate sale. Window treatments like drapes are a very good thing to measure. Chipped glassware, because that's super hard to see at a sale. You can't see these tiny little, cracks, little bites on a glassware. What you do is you run your finger around the rim to check. Man, dudes, I'm telling you, this MarthaStewart.com is gold. And repainted items, experts say that greatly diminishes the collectability. What did we miss on this list, according to your experience, Miss Brenda?
What not to buy?
Yeah. Well, you don't buy it, so how would you know?
I know, right?
What things do the savvy people look for at estate sales? Let's beat the experts at their game here.
The collectibles, especially if you go to an estate sale and they don't know how to price things.
Oh, how many stories have I heard? Not so much.
I got it for $5, okay, and now I'm on Antiques Roadshow.
Salvation Army Thrift or something like that, and there have been some super steals that I have personally heard about. This goes on all the time. So Hummels, figurines, are those? No. She's shaking her head, folks.
No. Pretty much anything that was made to be collectible really isn't collectible.
Oh, you mean those Department 57?
The Department 56 villages 56. Are actually worth quite a bit.
I love those. Yeah. I would never sell
those. But Hummel figurines, No. If you research them, do your finalized listings on eBay.
Do you, Brenda, do you know how much money my mom
right.
spent on the and the beautiful Hummels? And,
and
I think
the plates, the wall hanging yes, plates, nobody buys
those. I think the
Hummels
anymore. Were designed to break if there were children in the house.
Oh, yeah.
You couldn't find a more fragile thing, and they knew. They knew, so you'd buy more of them. So, okay, we have a very big announcement, but I'll tell you the good news. The first part of the good news is 25% off to KKFT and KSLV listeners. 25% off. What do? They just say, hey.
Heard you on John Potter this morning.
Oh.
Give me my 25% off.
Give me.
Just for today. Okay. Give me, give me.
Okay, so we're going to tease you here. We're going to do the commercials and come back and tell you about your opening yet another brand new warehouse at the end of this month. All right. She's tight-lipped. We're trying to keep the secret going. A few minutes more here, Brenda. This is Brenda Hannon of Hannon's Estate Services, Diggins, and Treasures. I'm going to let you do most of the talking next time.
Okay.
Okay? All right. Okay. Very cool. Stand by, folks. I'm John Potter, live and local each and every Saturday, 9 to noon, 99.1, 92.3 FM Talk. FM News Talk time, 1045.
We need to talk.
In a somewhat friendly manner.
So make the call.
A colorful call.
884-9910. News and talk, live and local, the weekend, on News Talk 99.1 and 92.3 FM.
I did not know that you love going to Austin and Eureka. I love that area.
It's beautiful out there.
Oh, I know. It certainly is. And anyway, I got stories, but you're diverting my attention here. This is Brenda Hannon of Hannon's Estate Services, Diggins, and Treasures. 25% off to listeners who go and say, that John Potter. And that will be at your warehouse in Carson City. Where is that?
That one's at 411 Hot Springs Road. Suite number 2. We're clear at the back of the parking lot.
Yeah, you pull in, folks, at that address, and you are at the back of it, right?
Correct. Straight back.
Looks unassuming, but inside it's massive.
Yeah, we're in 5,000 square feet there.
Okay.
It's a pretty good size.
So the big announcement is you have yet another new warehouse about to open very soon at the end of this month. Tell us all about it, Brenda.
Super excited, and shout out to 99.1 listeners. You guys got us this warehouse.
How is
that? We put the word out that we were looking for more space.
Oh,
and people started calling us saying, I've got one. And
you
that's
said
how
that
we found
during
our new
the last
one.
Interview we had?
No, on one of our ads.
On one of your ads, okay.
Mm-hmm.
And people heard that and found you a place.
They did.
All right. Where is it?
It's over in Mound House. It used to be the Secondhand Rose thrift store. It's 10128 Highway 50. So that's going to be our second location. And we haven't really named it yet. We're working on it.
Where's it next to?
It's next to what used to be Fish.
Oh, okay. In Mound House.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Why did you pick that particular? What did you like about it?
It's right on the highway. Very visible.
50?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
And how is it going to be? Is it going to be different at all from the one in Carson City?
It'll be different. It's more of a outlet. Thank you, Craig Moss, at your Carson office for suggesting that name. We're considering Hannon's Estate Outlets, Hannon's Estate Treasures, or Hannon's Estate Diggins number 2.
Mm.
So we're kind of leaning towards outlets.
Do you already have enough stuff to fill it?
It's completely full already. And we have like 10 more houses coming.
10 more houses to do estate sales on?
Buyouts. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we go and we look at them and we say,
this can only get bigger and bigger constantly.
I know. It's pretty wild. But this new warehouse is going to be the overflow because our Carson warehouse is fairly classy. And
yeah, it is.
This new warehouse is going to be
more rustic,
kind of more rustic, but it's the overflow. We must have like 30 skill saws out there and 20 grass trimmers hanging up on the wall. There's a riding lawnmower. There's washers and dryers. There's collectibles. There's It's completely full. It's going to be really fun.
Oh, my gosh.
So that's where we would suggest that we have a lot of vendors, resellers that come and buy from us. And that's going to be a really good location for them because we're going to have even lower prices there than we do at the Carson City one.
I think it's imperative, folks, that you get there before all the wise guys do and scoop up some amazing collectible things here. And you probably couldn't ever find a cheaper price on a lawn trimmer or a lawnmower or anything,
right?
Or tools and things.
Well, we're not going to price anything out there other than the really big items. Otherwise, it'll just be bargaining. Just bring me a stack of stuff and we'll make you a bundle deal.
Well,
that's where you get the really good deals.
Are you talking about selling or buying here?
When people come to buy.
When people come to buy, there are no price tags and they are going to bargain with you?
Yes.
You enjoy that?
Oh, they do.
Well, okay. This is totally different. Okay. Well, that saves a lot of time, not putting price tags on everything.
It does.
Okay. Well, it's almost a quasi-auction situation, isn't it?
It kind of is, without the auctioneer.
Well, who sets the value in the first place? They just blurt
out...
The
buyer and the seller. You're only going to sell stuff for what somebody's going to pay for it. That's what we tell everybody on eBay.
Well, yeah, but...
Nobody cares you paid $500 for that item. This guy's going to give you $25. That's how much it's worth.
Okay, but somebody tomorrow could give you $30 for it. So how do you really...
Maybe.
Oh, man. This sounds like a free-for-all.
It's kind of head-spinning. We do it at the on-site estate sales all the time.
Okay.
Yeah. We just price the bigger, higher-quality items because we kind of have to set a limit there.
So I didn't know you're talking like kitchen appliances and things like that, too. How big?
It's everything you would find on an estate. We put actual cars in this new warehouse.
I was about to say vehicles.
Yeah. We have a 49 Cadillac for sale right now.
It's in this new warehouse.
It's outside.
It's outside.
Yeah, we do have room in there to park cars. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Well, it's very unique.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing like the thrift shop that used to be there, I'm sure, in Mound House.
No. We always say we're not a thrift store.
You're not a thrift store.
We're not.
No, you're not.
We don't take donations. We buy everything. We own everything in our buildings.
And because you buy everything, you are very particular of what you buy.
We are, and we're particular how we sell it, too. Our stuff is clean and nice. It's not just thrown out in boxes for you to dig through. We're hoping to open by the end of the month. It'll depend on, the fire inspections and, Lyon County getting all that lined up with them.
So when you go to Brenda's places, you can't be indecisive because Kathy and I went to your place in Carson City, and we were ready to buy. We could not settle on one or two things.
It's hard. There's a lot of fun stuff.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's like half museum, at least to me it was. You have some very fancy clothes.
We do. We carry vintage clothing.
Vintage?
We don't do everyday clothes. We'll do, if we get a house where there's a lot of brand new shoes in their boxes, we'll sell those.
You know what I love about vintage clothing, Brenda? And I go to sometimes thrift shops. And if something is in, like, new condition, like a shirt or something, and I'll tell you why I prefer those. Back then, they made a shirt to last. The way they make men's shirts now is pathetic.
And they're all super short-sleeved.
Or even suits.
For tall people, they're never long enough.
Even suit jackets. You feel the lapel, and it's so thin, it feels like a shirt material. And we're talking a suit lapel.
Right.
The say what you will, but the old clothes, the classic clothes, they kept their form. They're a little bit stiff at everything, but they look like you look like $1 million with the way they made clothes before and how they hold together and how they don't lose their form. And now you have to iron them constantly. And after a month of use, they're already dead, So God bless you. When we say vintage clothing, people are picturing, oh, they're going to sell the colonial wear or something.
No,
we're talking
about vintage,
really well-made clothing.
Yes.
That's still
the fur coats and the beaded nightgowns or the evening gowns.
And it's still in style. A lot of it is still in style.
We have people come in shop there that they wear them. They love them.
Yeah, I bet you. I mean, leather jackets and great boots.
And Levi jackets. Levi jackets are really popular.
I love cowboy boots.
We did one sale, an on-site sale, where this guy was a clothes hound. It was like an entire shop full of men's Western clothing and the pearl snap-up shirts.
Oh, and I bet he kept it in perfect condition, too. Oh, yeah. Too.
And people were coming, resellers, just armload after armload out of this building of these Western clothes. It was wild.
God bless you. Oh, what day does the new warehouse open?
We're going to shoot for January 23rd. We're going to start out doing pop-ups. So we'll just be open maybe 4 days a month.
Oh, 23rd. I thought the end of the month.
So we're HannonsEstateService.com.
2 weeks away here, folks. Okay.
Yeah, maybe. But go on HannonsEstateService.com, no S on the end of service, and sign up to get on our email. That way you'll know when we're doing our sales, when the store is going to open.
Hannon spelled H-A-N-N-O-N, EstateService.com.
HannonsEstateService.com.
Okay. It's all there.
It's all there.
Why the heck am I talking for half an hour? Just go to the website.
Just go there.
Geez, why didn't you tell me when you came in here? No, just give the website. I love you, Brenda. Brenda Hannon. Hannon's Estate Services. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Good hunting, too, okay?
Yeah.
All right. We'll be back. Thanks, I'm John Potter, Fox News. Next.